Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm Sarah Levine.
I'm Danny Murphy. You know, we're your partners in wine, crime, and time, and we're in your ears, and we could also be in your
face.
I mean, I don't know if that's desirable, but if it is, June 5th is when that really can go down.
Yes, we're doing a live show at Union Hall in Brooklyn. It's at 5 p.m., so get your tickets. Make sure you get them. They're going fast. We're not just saying that. Go to betches.co/NATC live or just go on the Union Hall site and like you'll find it or Google it.
Or just,
you know, you as are detectives.
If you shout on the street asking for tickets, I'm sure someone will help you find it on Google. You know what I mean? People care.
Right. Or check the stories. I put up a link there. All right. I think there's a link in my bio. I know that for sure. Sarah Lameen.
I think there's one in my, I think there's one in mine at Cashmere, yeah. Danny Cashmere with a K. And we'll throw it everywhere.
Yeah. So come out. It'll be fun. Last time was 2 years ago. It was a really fun time. Actually, two and a half. Because it was in January of 2020. Wow, what a trip.
Right before, I know. And I remember being like, oh my God, we should do this more. And then didn't do anything.
Then the universe was like, nope.
not quite.
Yes. So today, just kind of a weird one, I feel like. We're going to do some updates and then just talk about the way down part two.
Yeah, we'll get to that in the second part of this episode because I have questions about why some parts even exist. Like
facts.
What the parts were the parts. Yeah.
Facts. But first, there has been a really big breaking update on a
Major.
Case that we did cover a while ago. The disappearance of Brittany Drexel, and unfortunately her remains were found this week in South Carolina.
Which is so heartbreaking too. Well, it's good because I know her mom moved down there mm-hmm. when all of this started and was looking. So it's good at least the family can have some sense of closure in a way. And I mean, obviously, I'm sure there might have been a part of her holding out hope that maybe her daughter was going to be found alive or who knows. But unfortunately, her remains were found.
Right. This is never the answer that anybody wants. Having an answer is perhaps better than having nothing.
Yeah.
So in 2009, the then 17-year-old disappeared while on spring break in Myrtle Beach, and she was from upstate New York. And a suspect has been arrested, and according to authorities, he confessed to the murder. And the man, I know, and the man, Raymond Moody, had been a person of interest since 2012, but detectives really didn't have enough information to make an arrest until recently. And they kind of have so far declined to mention what that new information was, which, fair enough, but it is. It just goes to show that you really never know what's happening, I guess, behind the scenes.
No, exactly. And I do feel like this, I have the sense that because this is a case where everything, like if he confessed and his answer, and there's so much attention to it, I feel like they probably will reveal at some point.
Yeah, for sure.
It was. Yeah, but I guess they're just still trying to finalize everything. And it's crazy because, I mean, there were so many elements of this, people really not sure who did it, what even happened, because it was...
Right.
In case you guys like kind of forgot about the case with hers, like she was at Myrtle Beach, was there with friend, like boy, her boyfriend and
yeah,
her
like
boyfriend's
people she
friends
didn't know that well.
Went to like a hotel to see one of this guy she knew just like as a friend, and then some footage of her, but then nothing. And
right.
Phone pinged out and everything like that. So truly just they had so little to go off of. For this, so
right.
It was a really hard case for them to try to get any answers with at the beginning, so it is great that they were able to get something now.
Yeah, and previously, I think the FBI had kind of came out with their theory that this father and son duo had abducted Brittany yeah. and kind of killed her when she tried to escape and threw her body into an alligator pit, which was all based on, like, information they got from a prison informant, but mm-hmm. basically none of that appears to be true.
No, yeah. There were so many twists and avenues of people trying to go on with this case of trying to figure out what really happened. But kind of some background on this new man, Raymond Moody, who did confess. He is a registered sex offender who served 21 years in prison after a 1983 abduction and rape case in California. Mm-hmm. And that victim was a 9-year-old girl, which is so unsettling. And authorities are now alleging that Moody kidnapped Brittany from the Myrtle Beach Strip and held her captive. And they allege that he sexually assaulted her before strangling her to death. And he allegedly confessed and led authorities to the spot in the woods where she was buried. And I mean, they did find her remains.
Right, so. Which is where she was found. So that, you know, alligator theory out the window. Mm-hmm. That always seemed a little ridiculous to me. It just gave me Carol Baskin vibes of like feeding it to the tiger.
What a name I kind of forgot about.
Right. So here's how it all sort of unfolded. At first on May 4th, I remember at first they had found remains and they were not yet saying who it was. And then also on May 4th, Moody was arrested on an obstruction charge. And then a week later, on the 11th, he allegedly led authorities to the burial site. So he's now facing one count of murder, one count kidnapping, one count criminal sexual misconduct, and he could face a death sentence if convicted. So far, again, when we researched this is the 19th, he hadn't entered a plea with respect to the charges. So that's something to keep an eye out. But this is definitely a promising lead as a completely amateur person with no personal connection to what's going on. But I mean, it does seem like, you know, he led them to the burial site. He seems to have confessed. Kind of seems like this is the guy.
Mm-hmm. And it is interesting because I was remembering too the back, like what I was like, what were they basing off of before, and how it was that one guy, Taquan Brown, who was like showing them through this house where he said that he saw Timothy Taylor doing everything with that, and then that not confession, but that statement was kind of like given from someone inside, and it was such a mess with all of that twist and turn. So it's kind of, I feel good too that not just answers for Brittany and her family too, but that like Timothy Taylor,
his name, and I know his mom was
very much cleared,
had been like going out in the press being like, you know, stop connecting my son's name to this girl's disappearance. And so, you know, hopefully he can get that clearance as well. So we will, you know, obviously keep you all updated if anything new develops. I'm sure it will at some point, but at least now there is a bit of closure.
Which is good. And also then there's closure all around, I guess, because for the way down, those people, there was closure in a different way for not them having to deal with Gwen Shamblin anymore, because kind of, in case you guys don't remember, when did this documentary first come out? Like last October?
Yeah, like it was a while ago.
A while back, whereas like The Way Down was about like Gwen Shamblin, who was like this registered dietitian who started this program called The Way Down Workshop, which was a faith-based weight loss workshop that she started in 1986.
I feel like faith-based and weight loss is a phrase that just kind of feels almost like an oxymoron.
Yeah, and also like a weight loss workshop that's not just like a gym with a doctor or anything like that. I would not money into that.
Well, she was a registered dietitian. So I remember when I was going over, like some of the weight loss tips were like kind of legit, you know, but then some of them were just like, pray the hunger away.
Yeah, that was the thing. There was some where like she could be like, have salad instead of fries. All right. And the other one's like, don't eat for 3 days so God loves you.
Exactly.
Okay.
And you're like,
I can't do that. It's hard enough to ask for a side salad instead of a side of fries.
Oh, my God. You know what? I feel like I always end up overeating later because I'm just chasing like the crunch and the salt of the fries. So it's never worth it.
And I got to say, you know what? If God up there would want me to have fries.
I agree.
That would be my church. I would say to the church of carbs.
I feel like he didn't invent them, right? If you like weren't supposed to have them.
Yeah. You think the man who turned water into wine was saying skip the fries? Lived large.
Oh my God.
Lived large as shit. Yeah.
I mean, especially if you can't drink any water and all there is wine. You need some greasy food to soak that up.
Soak it up, yeah. I mean, we're just saying Gwen, you know. Maybe we should take over The Way Down.
I feel like her dogma had some flaws, and so did her hair. I will say the one good thing about part two was that they finally went into her hair. Like, they sort of talked about it on the first part, but it's like, how, this is the elephant in the room. How do you not address this?
And I love that. Yeah, we got the woman who was like, it was my job to tease it, to cut, to everything. Yes. She was like, it would just get higher and higher.
And apparently, she never used like extension or anything. Like, that was just.
We might need a way down part three because I don't buy that. But
I don't buy that either because I also feel like, how is her hair not falling out from like stress and weight loss and stuff like that?
And also that it was getting
and all that teasing and
treated
product.
Every day. Yeah.
It can't be good for you.
I'm like, Snooki has some extension in her hair.
All right. Even Snooki used a bump it. Like, this woman has probably stacked bump its on her head.
Oh my God. A bump and dot. Yeah. It's a baker dozen of bump its.
It's a lot. It is a lot. But yeah, she pretty much just said, if you're thin, you're right with God. And she would say that if people were losing weight and then regaining it, it's not because like some 90% of diets don't work. It's because they weren't listening to her / to God.
And I know. It's like they're not like, we feel like she never discussed the metabolism. And some people you could diet as much as you want. Like your body is just your body at the end. It gets to a point where like it is what it is. And you got to just work with that.
I know. I feel like she's like, well, if Jesus could be ripped, then, you know. You're not better than Jesus. Like, I feel like I took that right out of her church, but I didn't.
Like, but we are in the BCE. No, he was in the BCE. We're in the AC after Cheetos. Because after Cheetos were invented, I'm also, I really hope no one who's very religious is offended by that. But it's a truth. AC, it's after Common Era, and it's also after
That's
Cheetos.
So funny.
Two things can be true. And that is why none of us, that's why I'm going to say that is why I cannot have abs. Because I was railing Cheetos as a child and as an adult as well. Also, Sino Chester Cheeto was hot, but that's just a Cheeto there. What? Abs!
Oh my God.
Built.
I feel like there's definitely a ranking of cartoon characters that I would find hot, but I've never thought of Chester Cheeto.
There has to be some people who you are picturing him right now with the sunglasses. And didn't he always go like, oh, yeah.
Isn't that the Kool-Aid man? Yeah.
I feel like they both. Oh, maybe. Here's the thing. Kool-Aid man, the confidence of the Kool-Aid man, kind of hot, too.
Yeah, I mean, and he can smash through the wall. So he's strong. So,
you can piece two and two together. He's good at smashing. We'll leave you at that. Enjoy your Kool-Aid.
Oh, my gosh. We're really on one today. It's fine.
Yeah. There's something, I think, because it's a, for all of us East Coast New Yorkers, we're entering a heat wave. So that's when the episodes get the peak loosey-goosey.
So weird. And it's also not 10 in the morning. So I feel like I'm crashing from coffee.
Oh, that's true. Oh, I'm on the opposite because I just finished my pot of coffee and I had an espresso after that. So
are you crazy?
Yeah.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
So, okay, God equals thinness, whatever. Thinliness, godliness, you got the gist. In the 90s, Gwen took the Way Down workshop to another level. She started doing programs with the Bellevue Baptist Church, and she did 12-week guided seminars. And then by 1998, the Way Down workshop hosted more than 21,000 classes, which is a lot, and had over 250,000 active members, which is so many.
Like, this was an actual major successful.
Yeah. And thing. She had so many books and everything like that. But then after this program started to get successful, she kind of got cocky with the whole Christ angle and then went and opened up a church, as you do, I guess. So she founded the Remnant Fellowship Church in 1999. It was based in Brentwood, Tennessee. And that was just kind of the gist. And the Way Down Part One looked into the Remnant Fellowship Church and brought up a number of disturbing allegations that parents were instructed to hit their children with glue sticks and belts when they misbehaved. there was some talk of like eating disorder. There was also a big case in, I think, 2003 when these two parents mm-hmm. were convicted of killing their 8-year-old son after beating him, locking him in a wooden box, and confining him to a closet for hours at a time. Father had said that his son needed discipline because he was a soldier of the devil, and he carved death threats on the walls. And what's kind of interesting is that the church has pretty much always insisted the parents are innocent and has also even funded their appeals, which, for the record, have failed.
Yeah, of course. But it's so insane that the church not only stands by what they did, but multiple times and is trying to fight for it.
Right. That's what's surprising to me, is that they wouldn't try to distance themselves from these people. But I don't know. Yeah. Because I also do remember they made an SVU episode about this case.
Oh.
Completely. And if you guys remember it, DM us, Not Another True Crime. But ooh. I vividly remember that one.
Oh, that's interesting. I know. Yes. Yeah, so that's like, they had so much stuff going on about them. And it was also starting to get much more known. But the part one of the documentary, they were talking a lot about just like reports that were known and stuff like that. But then not a ton of a lot of major people speaking out about their experiences and feeling comfortable enough to do that. And things.
I feel like there was a good bit, but it was a lot of like the woman who had a child with Joe and like that whole mm-hmm. fiasco. And
yeah, I guess it was more so about the church and less so about Gwen as a person, almost, kind of, which does make sense for this documentary.
Yeah. And I feel like they were definitely hoping that more people would come forward, which they did. But mm-hmm. we can debate at the end if it was worth it.
And again, like, I financially cannot afford a feud with Chrissy Teigen, who is the executive producer on this, but we have to have some thoughts about this documentary, this part two of it.
She can't arrest us for having thoughts.
She's rich. I don't know what rich people can do.
Oh my God.
Also, like, that's like, we're gonna save that clip of your audio for when we live in our literal 1984 moment in like 5 years.
Right.
They can't arrest us for having thoughts. Okay. Yikes.
And then they'll be like, surprise, bitch, open up, it's the police.
And it's like Chrissy Teigen. We're like, Chrissy's court, but it's actually like,
oh my
the
God, that would be a true dystopian hellscape. We get arrested by Chrissy Teigen and charged on her Quibi show.
They bring it back just for all the peace trials.
My God, that'd be horrible.
The thing is, every day we get closer to the future, the more I believe any of that stuff. So who knows?
Any of it could happen.
Yeah, so where we left off, it was after that where, tragically, Gwen was killed in a plane crash, which happened in May 2021. Her husband, Joe, was also killed along with their son-in-law and two couples who were very high up in the church. So it was a very, what are those planes? Like a smaller plane that they were, a private plane.
Yeah.
That was, they were flying that crashed. So witnesses also saw the plane kind of just nosedive into the Percy Priest Lake near Nashville without any signs of engine failure. Mm-hmm. So it kind of was just like a very intense sight to see. There was also no sign of an explosion. And Joe, they also talk about this kind of at the sort of in detail at the beginning of the first episode of part two, that he was a licensed private pilot with single engines and he had good flight rules. So he had training, proper training, anything like that, but he hadn't flown in almost 8 years when he met Gwen, and she paid for him to renew his license. I'm sure, because I mean, like, does sound like a nice setup too, to be able to be like, oh, yeah, you can fly.
But he private. Also wasn't like, he only became certified to fly that kind of plane recently. So I feel like he just didn't have the experience. And also, like, I think good flight rules means like you can only fly it under good conditions.
Okay, that makes sense. Like, not like when you have to like fly in like rain and
yeah,
snow.
Yeah, I think that's what they were saying in the documentaries. Like, it's pretty limited situations where you can fly it. But he was also pretty out of practice.
Yeah. And so he also could have been disoriented because he was flying in a cloud. So kind of to Sarah's point, like, cloudiness could attribute to some less than good flying rules and everything like that. The responses from the church were initially weird because there was this like huge wedding that everybody was talking about. That
I didn't like get what was going on with the wedding.
Okay, because I had to like I was very confused. Like, are they going to cancel the wedding? And I was like, the people on the plane, like, who was getting married? But it was like this couple.
I think
couple
it was just some
really
couple like that was in the church, right?
And I think what I was gathering, because so there was this big wedding and everybody thought maybe they were going to cancel it, but they acted like nothing happened and continued it. I didn't know. I perceived that as they included that to be like, oh, people like did not totally have a lot of grief of their passing.
I guess I thought it to mean like they tried to keep them in the dark of what happened. Like there was some text message where they said the plane made a quick controlled landing, but like everybody died. So that's not true.
Oh, okay. But yeah,
because it would have looked bad to have Gwen die since she was supposed to be protected by God. And so they did. I feel like they just did a bad sort of damage control type thing. And then like, yeah, I don't know. The whole wedding is kind of weird. Like, I feel like they were just like, let's put this off for tomorrow. And
yeah. Well, that would make sense for them to try to spin this or like not publicize this really yet, because Gwen would frequently tell people that any misfortune was a form of God's punishment. Like this woman had cancer. She said that horrible. Was God punishing her. So
I feel like these people think they're immortal. And by these people, I mean cult leaders. Just like think they're immortal when they say crazy shit like that.
And it's like a vicious cycle where they say it, then they'll have some people believe it, and then they get more powerful, and it just spins and spins and spins to like new levels.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
So then it kind of got into like the future of the church, and essentially it's a big question mark because many people think Gwen's daughter Elizabeth is going to take over, but she kind of understandably took some time off from the church after the plane crash.
She didn't lose her family and that, yeah.
Right. And then, I mean, I don't know, they had this whole thing where they interviewed a bunch of her childhood friends who were like so hurt that she kind of stopped talking to them after they wouldn't join the church. And I'm like, I get that, but also she's like in a cult and also
born into it.
Right. Yeah, born into this basically. Cult that's led by her mother. I feel like she doesn't have like the proper support systems to get out of that. If that's what she wants to do. Like, I'm kind of like, it's not really like about you guys. Like,
yeah. Well, you know? Also just like any kids that were in that cult. I mean, just in cults in general, they had such a hard time doing any decision or making anything. Like there was the one girl who was like the track star valedictorian who like could have gone to so many different schools and like amazing opportunities and stuff like that, full rides to like Ivy Leagues, went to this like small school in Tennessee for the sole purpose of staying near the cult. So not really what she wanted to do, but just because she had to stay and work for it and everything like that.
It is interesting that they would let people do that though, like go to college and things like that and like have jobs outside of the church. Like, that part's interesting because they don't usually do that.
Right. I guess it's so they could have, like, some form of money to keep on giving to the church because that was all the people that were working jobs in the church were not getting any of the money.
Yeah.
And if they tried to ask for any money, they were just like, you need to be humble. God isn't going to give you anything and everything like that.
Yeah. It's definitely interesting. So, I mean, we don't really know what the future is right now. The church told Washington Post, even though she's taken a break this year after so much loss, she, as in Elizabeth, plans to return shortly after things settle down. I mean, It's been a year since the crash, so I'm sure that there are updates.
But I know, yeah, it's very interesting. And it's very interesting, too, now, like, with all this extra information coming out about it and stuff like that, where the church can even go from there and things like that. And especially because I'm sure the people that are a part of the church or were a part of it recognize a lot of the familiar faces that were in the documentary, because a lot of former members came forward after the first part of the documentary aired and also after Gwen passed away. One of the men, he said that he came out as gay, and like when he told them, they were like, first they were like, take it aback, but then they were like, oh, that's fine, we've converted many people.
Yeah, like what the, and he was like, no.
He was like, you didn't convert them, they're just like lying to themselves.
Yeah,
like,
they're just even more closeted.
Convert themselves. Yeah, so then he kind of just was like, I'm a dip out. So he was only, I think he said he was in it for 3 years before he came out and then left. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of just ostracized him. Like, everybody stopped talking to him. And so then he pretty much had no choice but to leave.
Which worked out for him in the end, yeah.
I know. Also, I was looking on the church's website, and under the leadership tab, they say, Remnant Fellowship Church has a leadership team consisting of over 90 shepherds, deacons, ministry leaders, and ministry assistants. Any decision made on behalf of the church are made through the leadership team with much prayer and discussion. So basically, I mean, Gwen's not on that page, obviously. Elizabeth is listed on the page.
Okay. I almost wonder, because I wonder if she's listed in it because she wants to be in it, or they're just doing it to like appearance-wise.
Right. I mean, well, it definitely has been updated because all of these people have their own sort of section on this page on the site. And Elizabeth has like a bunch of photos, and she writes, my mother, Gwen Shamblin Lara, founded the Way Down Ministries. In every action, in every word, she spoke for God alone. So she's kind of like memorializing her, but it definitely is not listing her as like the one leader. But she does write, so at this time in my life, I find myself with the wonderful opportunity to follow in my mother's footsteps in serving our beautiful church. And I'm grateful for her example of decades of laying down her life for others. So who knows? I mean, again, she doesn't seem like necessarily the figurehead, but
she's not looking to replace Gwen in the sense of like notoriety.
Yeah, we don't really know. I mean, I imagine after this documentary, I would imagine everybody's trying to lay low. That's just my guess.
If they're waiting for the dust to settle from the media, they're going to have to wait a while because they're doing a scripted show about this too.
Oh, what?
Remember, because, because it's from the same producers that did the documentary.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, so it's a scripted series based on the doc, also at HBO Max. It's Chrissy Teigen and Ross Dinnerstein are going to make like an adaptation on it. It's
Teresa Caputo play Gwen?
Oh my gosh.
That's it.
She'd actually be great at it.
Right? I don't know if she can do accents, but she has the hair down, that's true. All you need.
You know what? Like a Margot Robbie. I just want to put her in. I guess she's just good in everything, so I don't really know. She's like,
that's true.
But it's from the same showrunner as The Act that had Patricia Arquette and Joey King.
I didn't watch that. I've got to say, like, I don't think I like these fictionalized adaptations. I'm trying to think of one I actually liked. I'll watch The Staircase because I didn't like that documentary. But
I've heard The Staircase is really good too. I haven't watched it yet. I mean,
I'm just trying to think because, like, I was watching Candy over the weekend.
Oh, was that good or no?
I thought it was really boring. Like, it was just, I don't know. I don't care to see the whole like dramatized backstory. Like, I kind of want to know like what happened, why did it happen, what was the aftermath, but I'm watching this whole like affair and I'm like, I don't fucking care about it. Like, tell me why she took an axe to her best friend.
We should do that case. And yes. I feel like I like when a series, cause I love like a drama series and stuff like that. But when it's like not ripped from the headlines, like, cause I'm like, give me that. But when it's like loosely, maybe inspired by or like reminds you of something like that.
Yeah.
Like, that's when
I'm into that. Like, you know, Mayor of Easttown or whatever, like that stuff's all good.
Yes. The Capture on Peacock, so good.
Exactly. But I was, even like, I tried to watch The Girl from Plainville. It just felt wrong to do so. Like, it just feels like, why? And also, you know, does the victim's family, like the victim's families, I think a lot of the time are either not involved or opposed. Mm-mm. Like the thing mm-hmm. with Pam, whatever they call that one.
The thing about, yeah.
I don't think the Roys were like happy about the Hulu series. And so it's just kind of like, I don't know, what are we doing this for? Like,
because it's also, I mean, documentaries, you can't even promise that it's going to give a full
yeah.
objectiveness to it, but you can assume there will be more objectivity than in a scripted series where they can just have like a little creative freedom under the guise.
Exactly.
It was inspired by, but we can do anything. And then it's like, but who, and I don't blame anybody watching to be like, they're not going to Google to be like, what? It didn't actually happen. That was in the thing about Pam. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They don't really do it for me, I guess, is what I'm saying. Like, I would rather watch a documentary or like a docuseries.
And also, I mean, like, we had two parts of this way down. I think I'm good on this story as well.
Oh, that, I know. That's how I also feel too, because it's never the little known stories that get this treatment. It's always the ones yeah. that have just been like, trotted out so many times, like multiple documentaries, a podcast, whatever. Like
Joe vs. Carol. Like
Joe vs. Carol. Even here? The Dropout. Like I really liked the first episode, but I was also like, you know what? I know all this story. Like I don't need to watch this. Mm-hmm. And the dancing, I couldn't make it through.
Oh, I mean, love Amanda Seyfried. So I'll watch.
She's so good in it, but I just I didn't like feel compelled to continue the story.
But I feel it's also a thing too, where there's probably people who don't. Keep up with
for sure.
True crime news and stuff like that that are just like, oh, this is a fun show. So it's kind of, it's funny that we're on the flip side of
I know.
That.
Yeah. I feel like those people probably don't follow the Instagram because they're like people on our Instagram, they know like every single fact of every single case.
They know, and they know the truth. They know they're the real ones.
Truly.
So yeah, it was interesting. I feel like, I mean, some notice, like there were some extra details that came out of this yeah. part too, where it's like there was one woman who said she did like the extreme diet, only had 10 bites a day, only
that
had,
is crazy.
Broth. And then she ended up having holes in her liver from that. Like she had really long-term health issues and everything.
10 bites
so
a day.
Really severe.
Those are going to be huge ass bites. Let me tell you.
The Chipotle bowl is my
the
bite.
Whole, the bite gonna, is like, going to be like my whole fist in my mouth. Like that's yeah. like. Yeah, how do I learn to open up my jaw, unhinge my jaw like a snake, and shove a whole Chipotle burrito in there so that I can abide by the 10 bites a day rule?
Honestly, some bagels I can finish in 4 bites if I'm really trying. So maybe.
There you go.
There's a workaround. And I was so sad to the woman who was hired to help make like the Spanish way down, who mm-hmm. joined and then like, I never was able to see her family, never see her kids. And she was courted by Gwen saying like, oh, we're going to give you more money. We're going to give you X, Y, Z. And then when she got her first paycheck, it was like significantly less than what she was making before. And then when she asked Gwen like, oh, I thought I was getting a raise. Like, is something wrong? Gwen like snapped at her, was saying like, you need to be humble. You're never going to get a raise. This is not what God and everything like that. So just really a lot of emotional warfare that went on there on top of
abuse.
I hate
that.
And it was so bad. It was so bad.
And then also there was that woman who like also had to be Gwen's hairdresser for free on top yeah. of her full-time job as a hairdresser. Like this woman was like dressing hair 16 hours a day. I mean, I don't even understand.
That's intense. Her poor cuticles.
I know. And when she asked for payment, Gwen was just like pulled the whole like manipulation train.
Mm-hmm. And it was crazy too. Like in some of the clips where they would be sitting around a table, Gwen would be like, so how much weight have we all lost and everything like that? And it's like a very intense thing. I was shocked. The one thing from the doc that she was trying to make a reality show to like rehab her image. I don't know in what way.
Oh my God, that was nuts.
Anything that would be filmed that we saw would help her image at all.
I know. I feel like I'm kind of like, if TLC isn't even giving you a reality show deal, then your life is really a train wreck that can't be helped.
That's when you know, yeah.
Yeah.
It was and also it's so funny too. I'm like, God doesn't want you to have carbs, but you can have a reality show. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Where is the line of things?
No,
that
absolutely.
Are
oh,
pure?
Speaking of, didn't the Chris Lees get like indicted for fraud or something this week?
Yes, they did.
Crazy. Also, for what it's worth, for the purposes of covering our own ass, we do have to mention the church did deny these allegations in an email to Washington Post. Saying Gwen would have never limited or withheld food from anyone, always compensated anyone who has ever done a service for her, and show genuine kindness to all, no matter their race, religion, or background, and that the church would never shun or reject anyone. I mean, I think limiting food from people was her entire business model. So, like, that's I'm going to call like bullshit on purpose. That, but that's just my opinion.
And I'm sure, and also that last, like, they'll never shun or reject anyone. Yeah, because they're just going to convert you into being who they want you to be. And then that's fine if you just fit into their mold. But besides that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Sarah, how did you feel? Did you going into part? Because we both liked part one.
I did like part one because I learned a lot. I really didn't know anything about this church. And I was like, this place is crazy.
This place is on fire.
I was going to say bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
It's both Alicia Keys and Gwen Stefani. I mean, Gwen Stefani, Gwen Shamblin.
Facts.
Could also play her.
Yeah.
In this.
Could work.
I mean, Gwen Stefani has the best Botox in the game.
I was going to say, sure, she has the right color hair.
Yeah, and the right name. Hmm. But I know this second part could have just been one episode, like 1 hour long, like people coming forward and stuff like that.
Yeah, the first part I was like, who cares about this wedding? Like, I don't really get what's going on or whatever.
No.
That's always a risk, right? Like when you do this type of thing, because I feel like they were really banking on the success of the first part. I mean, number one, mm-hmm. I don't think they intended to do a second part. I think it was just after the plane crash. They were like, oh, wow. So I think they were banking on more people coming forward. And they kind of even said that in the documentary. But I guess I just think what came forward was not super groundbreaking. Like when you're comparing it to what we already knew in the first half, which was we already knew this is disordered eating. We already and also like, you know, I don't know. It's just like you're comparing this to people who were convicted of murdering their child in the first half. Mm-hmm. And then you're kind of, it's like, it doesn't seem as dramatic in context.
That's actually the really true part. They could have, it's almost like the part should have been flipped.
Yeah, but they didn't know what was going to happen, I feel like, when they were making it. But yeah, I guess I just feel like it didn't add much for me.
No, it didn't add much for me either, but I understand why they did. The part two, A, because of the updates, and B, because I'm sure they, and I never want to stop anybody from getting a check.
Exactly.
That is fine with me. And I feel like also they probably knew that they wanted to do a scripted series of this. So they're like, oh, this is the perfect way to like re-promote that.
Yeah.
And everything. And I mean, here's the thing. It depends who they cast on. I might get guilted. I might get swooped into watching that. So
I'm like really thinking about how good Margot Robbie would be. Damn.
Gwen, you win this round, Chrissy Teigen. No, Margot Robbie is, she's just, I feel like we don't talk about how, I guess we do, how she's like the most talented. And she's actress and she'd be so good at playing like twisted religion type of thing like that.
And she, I'm sure she could do a Southern accent.
Oh, 100%. Oh, and I mean, speaking of, and this, I'm sorry, I've mentioned her 500 times, but she is affiliated with this thing. Did you see that Chrissy Teigen's team is also going to do a, one about the 7M, like the influencer company.
A documentary?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that one I will watch. That sounds good. That TikTok dance cult, right?
Yeah, so it's like 7M Films, the management company that represents social media stars, TikTok dancers. People are saying that it's very cult-like, and it's going to be the subject of a new documentary, so I am very curious about that.
That's exciting. I'm also excited there's going to be an Armie Hammer documentary. That's going to be so wild.
Ready for that? So we will definitely be covering the 7M films.
Although I will say, if they give Armie Hammer the freaking scripted treatment, like I'm gonna just like yeet myself into the sun. Like, no.
I am leaning towards they won't, and I hope they won't.
Right.
But you never know with rich people.
Yeah. No, I think a documentary will be really interesting.
I think one of the articles I read about this, it seems like it might be going in on it. So,
like, as in it's bad?
No, like going in on Armie Hammer, like really bringing.
Yeah,
all
I hope so, because I feel like there was supposed to be a big expose that like never came to fruition.
No, because I feel like that's
I remember hearing whispers about it, but yeah, I just think it never saw the light of day. So, the documentary would be really wild.
I'm excited for that. We have a few episode topics brewing for down the line, but of course, as always, if there's anything you guys want us to cover in particular, post about it in Not Another True Crime group, DM at Not Another True Crime. We always love suggestions. They really help us. And also because we do this because we want to talk about cases and et cetera that you guys all are into. So, I mean, that would really, we love to hear that. You can follow me on Instagram at Cash Mordani, Cash with a K.
Buy tickets to our live show, veggies.co/NATC live. Yeah, join us there June 5th, Union Hall. It's going to be fun. And you can follow me on Instagram, Sarah Lameme. The link to buy tickets is also there. I'll put it in our Instagram bio too, at Not Another True Crime. And hopefully we'll see you there. And also, if it sells out in advance, we can stop annoying you about the show. So I think that's a win-win.
Everybody's happy then.
Love it. Well, we will be back next time. Thank you for listening.
Not Another True Crime Podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico and Sean Kilby. Our hosts are Sarah Lameme and Danny Murphy. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Sarah Lameme. Be sure to follow at NATC Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to natc@betches.com. Betches.